Welcome to Friday Evening Live. It's good to see everybody here tonight. Vicky's going to sing a song for us. Father, just bless this time of fellowship tonight, Lord. The fun, the food, and especially your word, Lord. Make the message hit right where everyone needs it, Lord. And we know that you always are faithful, and your word never returns void to you when it comes out of heaven. And we thank you for that in Jesus' name. Amen.
Do you tremble at his word? Tell me, does it move you? Do you desire it more than a necessary food? Is it more precious than the finest gold and silver? Words of truth to live by from the mind of God. All his words are true, and all his ways are righteous. We have the very mind of Christ. Will you let it be in you? Will you let it be in you? As a man does speak, so is he. Tell me, who is it you seek to be a living epistle, letter read by all, manifesting Christ, the way, the truth, the life? All his words are true. All his ways are right and just. We have the very mind of Christ. Will you let it be in you? Will you let it be in you?
Thanks, Vicky. It's always better with a little song to begin. Get you warmed up for the message a little more. We're going to do 1 John 2 tonight. We went up to verse 5 last week. The first chapter is kind of short. There's only 10 verses in the first chapter, so that's why I went a little further. But we'll cover a little bit of ground here and sum up what we talked about last time. Best thing to remember about 1 John 1 is if we homologeo, acknowledge our sins, he's faithful and just to have already been forgiven, to forgive us and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness, cleanse from all guilt, all condemnation that we might have against ourselves. Our sins, Psalm 103, verse 12, far as the east is from the west. Try to measure that sometime. David merely said in Psalm 32, I acknowledge my sins, and he forgave me and sent away all the guilt. Forgave me of all my sin. So we'll start here. We'll call this the Savior of the world, Jesus Christ. 1 John 2, 1 and 2. My little children, there he goes, being the family thing again. I am writing these things to you so that you may not sin. That's pretty much the story of the whole epistle, plus all the other epistles of the New Testament. Paul's, Peter's, James, they were all written for that purpose. And if anyone does sin, we have an advocate, the Parakletos, with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous, the just one, dying for all the unjust. And he himself is the propitiation for our sins. Not for ours only, but for the sins of the whole world. We have an advocate, that's right, the Parakletos, the one called alongside of us to aid and abet in our Christian life, the promised one from the Father who will live with us forever, the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit to indwell us, to comfort, energize, teach us everything concerning the Lord Jesus Christ. And he himself is the propitiation, the satisfaction for the payment of all sins of all mankind for all time through his finished work on the cross. It's just a hilasterion on the mercy seat on the ark where the creator of heaven and earth dwells. He is not the propitiation for our sins only, but for the sins of the whole world. If they only knew it. He suffered enough on that cross to pay for every sin ever committed by every man in the entire history of mankind. God passed over the sins previously committed in 2 Corinthians 5:19 and Romans 3:25. Not being lenient, but he judged them. He pummeled his son on the cross to pay for those sins. So he's not lenient toward us, but Christ paid. When he had himself had made purification for sins, he sat down at the right hand.
Sorry, it's going to be bad, I know it.
When he had made purifications for sin, he sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high, having become as much better than the angels, as he has inherited a more excellent name as they. John 4:39, from that city, many of the Samaritans believed because the woman had told him, see a man who knows everything that I ever did. So when the Samaritans came to Jesus, they were asking him to stay. And he stayed for 2 days. Many more believed because of his speaking, his word. And they were saying to the woman, it's no longer because you said that we believe, for we have heard with ourselves and know that this one indeed is the Savior of the world. That was the filthy Samaritan dogs who said that. 1 Timothy 4:10. For it is this, for we labor and strive because we have fixed our hope on the living God, who is the Savior of all men, especially believers. For there is one God, 1 Timothy 2:5, one God and one mediator between God and man, the man, Christ Jesus, who gave himself as a ransom for all, the testimony given at the proper time. He lives forever to intercede on our behalf in Romans 8:34 and Hebrews 7:25 saves us to the uttermost. Verse 3, by this we know that we have come to know him if we keep his commandments. The one who says, I have come to know him, and does not keep his commandments, he's a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whoever keeps his word, in him the love of God has truly been perfected. By this we know that we are in him. John 14:15, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. That's how you measure your love for the Lord. I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper. There's the Parakletos. That he may be with you forever. That's the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because he does not see him or know him. But you know him, because he's with you, and he abides with you and will be in you forever. John 15:10, if you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. That word there for keep is tereo. We've went over that before. To guard, to hold close to your heart, to guard. and he will abide in us. When we tereo, keep his word. Keeping and abiding are synonymous. It's just synonymous. Perfect agreement with Paul, though the terminology is a little different. These two, putting on the new man and putting off, referring to the new creation that we were made to be in Christ Jesus. 1 John 5:3, for this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not burdens. 1 John 5:4, for whatever is born of God overcomes the world. This is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. We are more than conquerors through him who loved us and gave himself up for us. Romans 8:39, and nothing can separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus. Romans 5:5, and hope does not disappoint us, because the love of God has been poured out within our hearts through the Holy Spirit whom he has given us. Ekuno, shed abroad, flow. It's flowing from our hearts like rivers of living water. 1 John 2:3, by this we know that we have come to know him, if we keep his commandments. We keep by taking in the word of God on a regular basis, so that it circulates through our stream of conscience. You still have your little chart, I hope. That wasn't just a one-time thing. That's something you should look at, because that's what the word abiding in you is doing. It's going through that stream of consciousness, cleansing and teaching you more and more all the time. Cleansing from all misconceptions. Dead works to serve the Lord in the newness of life, in Hebrews 6:4, and Hebrews 9:14, sprinkling of the blood of Jesus to be cleansed from dead works to serve the living God. John 14:23, Jesus answered and said, if anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him. He will come to, and we will come to him and make our abode with. I might use that verse in every message from now on, because that's, we will come. That knocks me out. I can't handle it. We know, gnosko, to know, be acquainted with, understand, which leads to epinosis, which is a more super spiritual, spirit taught understanding. But there's always room for growing when you're gnosis and epinosis. The more added, the more it grows. It's not like oida, which is one time and you know for sure and nobody could convince you otherwise. That's oida. But gnosis and epinosis can always grow more. Always with room for growing and deeper understanding. 1 Corinthians 2:13. Which things we also speak, not in words taught by human wisdom, but in those taught by the Spirit, combining spiritual with spiritual. It's our decision whether or not to keep his commandments. If we say we do and then don't, we are liars. And his truths are not circulating through our stream of consciousness, or souls, you could say. But the one keeping his word, the love of God, is brought to completion. Teleiotai. It's the same tense and everything as John 19:30. The spelling's a little different, though. But love is made mature in you when you keep his commandments. Ephesians 2:10, we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand, so that we might walk in them. 2:6. The one who says he abides in him ought to walk in that same manner as he walked. Excuse me. Galatians 5:16. But I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not carry out the desire of the flesh. Peri pateo, walk around. We've had that word numerous times. Romans 8:4. So that the requirement of the law might be fulfilled, not by us, but in us, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. Ephesians 5:2, walk in love, just as Christ also loved you and gave himself up for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God is a fragrant aroma. The fragrant aroma, sacrifices, those were the pleasing ones to God. It's all the fat. The fat was for God. The fat, all the fat of the cow and the sheep was burnt especially for God. Priests couldn't have any of that. That's the splankna. Colossians 2:6. Therefore, as you have received Christ Jesus the Lord, walk in him. Imitate our Savior and walk as he walked, never once deviating from the Father's agenda. John 5:19, he says, therefore Jesus answered and was saying, truly, truly, I say to you, the Son can't do nothing by himself, unless it is something that he sees the Father doing. For whatever the Father does, these things the Son also does in like manner. John 5:30, again, he says, I can do nothing on my own initiative. As I hear, I judge. And my judgment is just, because I do not seek my own will, but the will of him who sent me. And he was filled with the Holy Spirit, oukmetron, without measure, all the days of his life, in John 3:34. That we should do as he has done, he said, in John 13, after he washed the disciples' feet. Loving one another as he loved us. Walking in love, which covers a multitude of sins in 1 Peter 4:8. James 5:20 says, let him know that he who turns a sinner from the error of his ways will save his soul from death and will cover a multitude of sins. We ought to. It's our obligation. The word is ophelia. I'll never forget that word because that's the name of a song by the band. We walk according to the example that he has left us. We ought to. It's our obligation. 1 Peter 2:21, for you have been called for this purpose, since Christ also suffered with you, for you, leaving you an example for you to follow in his steps. Ephesians 5:1, therefore, be imitators of God as beloved children. Be ye holy, for I am holy. Leviticus 19:2 and 20 verse 7 and 1 Peter 1:16. Be ye holy, for I am holy. 1 John 2:7 and 8. Beloved, I am not writing a new commandment, but an old, which you have had from the beginning. The old commandment is the word which you have heard. On the other hand, I am writing a new commandment, which is true in him and in you. Because the darkness is passing away, the true light is already shining. There he uses the word agapetoi, divinely loved ones of God, beloved. It's not a new commandment, but one that we've heard from the beginning. John 13:34 and 15:12, that you should love one another just as I loved you. Because by this the world will know that you are my disciples. And even earlier than that, Deuteronomy 6:4, hear, O Israel, the Lord is our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, and with all your might. Leviticus 19:18, you shall not take vengeance nor bear any grudge against the sons of your people, but you shall love your neighbor as yourself. I am the Lord. But I am writing a new commandment, because the darkness is passing away. It's rolling down the hill, picking up steam as it goes. It's not fading away. It's getting worse. And it's going to blow up one of these days because it just keeps getting worse and worse. Can't believe the hate that's in this world anymore. Half the nation hates, despises one man. And that's what their whole lives are about. I am so amazed by that. Don't they know we're all brothers? We were created in his image. Who's our neighbor? Jesus said. The Levite who crossed the street, the priest who went to the other side of the road and ignored this guy, or the Samaritan who stopped and took him to the inn and bathed his sores and left money for the... Who was his brother? Who was his neighbor? You know, ever since that one paper he handed out with the rectangle, Father, Son, and Spirit. And inside was body, soul, and spirit. I wonder who my brother is. I think everybody might be. Whether John's using that terminology for everybody or just believers. But that's the way I'm seeing it anymore. They're all my brothers. We were all created in the image of God. Therefore, let us lay aside the deeds of darkness. Put on the armor of light. Walk in the light while you have the light. John 8:12, he said, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me will not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. John 12:35, Jesus said, for a little while longer the light is among you. Walk while you have the light, so that the darkness will not overtake you. He who walks in the darkness does not know where he's going. Ephesians 5:8, for you were formerly darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. Wake up, sleeper, arise, and let Christ shine on you. Ephesians 5:14. Verse 9, the one who says he's in the light yet hates his brother is in darkness until now. The one who loves his brother abides in the light, and there is no cause of stumbling. But the one who hates his brother is in the darkness and walks in the darkness, and does not know where he's going, because the darkness has blinded his eyes. You're in the darkness for very long. You can't see. When you finally see some light, you go out in the light, you still can't see. John 4:20, if someone says, I love God, and hates his brother, he's a liar. For the one who does not love his brother whom he has seen, he can't love his brother who he has seen. That's ridiculous. And this commandment we have from him, that the one who loves God should love his brother also. 1 John 3:10, by this the children of God and the children of devil are obvious. Anyone who does not practice righteousness is not of God. Yes, we should practice righteousness. Nor the one who does not love his brother. For this is the message which you've heard from the beginning, that we should love one another. Even until now, eos arti, he is hating his brother and walking in darkness. Walking and conducting his life under a shroud of darkness. 2 Corinthians 4:4, in whose case the God of this world has blinded the minds of unbelieving, so that they might not see the light the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. Unbelieving believers. Sounds amazing, but there are many. And who is your brother, like I was saying before? I got off on a rant before I was supposed to. Since all men are created, who's your brother? And the one walking in the light has no cause, no scandalon. I like that word, for stumbling. The scandalon is not the whole trap, but it's the trigger. The trigger that you bump or walk on and then snap, and the trap goes snap and shut on you. So that's a scandalon. This one is abiding in the light. Meno, to abide, remain, stay. He has not just dropped in for a visit, but he's staying. He's staying and abiding and remaining. And dwelling in the light, and conducting his life according to the light, illuminated by the word of God, circulating in his stream of conscience. Matthew 16:21, from that time Jesus began to show his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem, suffer many things from the elders and the chief priests, and be killed and raised up on the third day. Peter took him aside, began to rebuke him, saying, God forbid it, Lord. Shall never happen to you. But he turned to Peter and said, get behind me, Satan. You're a stumbling block, a scandalon to me. If you're not setting your mind on God's interests, but man's. Just shows you that human and satanic are the same thing. Viewpoint. You are a scandalon, Peter. Up in verse 16, he just made the great profession, you're the Christ, the Son of the living God. Verse 16, but he was still filled with darkness. that's proving that you can be saved and still walk in darkness. To the religious, the preaching of the cross is a scandal on in 1 Corinthians 1, 23. We must get the word into our souls. Keep doing it till we are changed into his image from glory to glory and faith to faith. Hours upon hours of faith perception and retention. Keeping the word and having it abide in you. We'll take the rest of our lives on this planet. But it's worth it. We can't let up for a second. Because the days are evil. Ephesians 5:16. My just ones shall live by faith. Habakkuk 2:4 and Romans 1:17. But you, brethren, are not in darkness. That's 1 Thessalonians 5:4. That the day would overtake you like a thief. For you're all sons of light and sons of day. We are not of the night nor of the darkness. 1 Peter 2:9. You are a chosen race, priesthood, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for God's own possessions, so that you may proclaim the excellences of him who has called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. We are sons and daughters of light now. 1 John 2:12. I'm writing to you, little children, because your sins have been forgiven for his name's sake. I'm writing to you, fathers, because you know him who has been from the beginning. I'm writing to you, young men, because you have overcome the evil one. I've written to you, children, because you know the Father. I've written to you, fathers, because you know him who has been from the beginning. And I have written to you, young men, because you are strong and the word of God abides in you. And, by the way, you have overcome the evil one. Perfect tense of Nike. Air Jordans, Nikes, yeah, he wished. He's no match for the Lord. We now get into the reason why John is writing his epistle, like I said, all our epistles, to know and be forgiven and convinced that you have eternal life. 1 John 5:12, he who has the Son has the life. He who does not have the Son of God does not have life. These things I have written to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, so that you may know that you have eternal life. There we have, Oida, so that you may know. I write to you, little children, technon, infants, preschoolers. He goes through the whole realm of adulthood and children. You've been forgiven for his name's sake, Jesus, which means Jehovah is salvation. Your sins are forgiven, perfect passive, once for all. Fathers, paters, older men, you have known, perfect tense, that's gnosko, the one who has been from the arche, from the beginning. Young men, neoniskois, this is where we had a couple, but they've left this realm. This is like late teens to about 40 are neoniskois. I don't know if we have any neo-noise. I know Ty isn't. But you have overcome the evil one, young man. Perfect tense, once for all. Children, again, he says, only this time it's paideia, school-age children, under training, under the tutelage of the paedagoge, in Galatians 3:25. Because you know the Father. Now, I can remember, I don't know how I was when I first got saved, but after I got done bawling for about 3 or 4 days, I knew I was forgiven, and my Father loved me, and nothing could ever change that. I don't know how I knew it. I didn't have a thimble of doctrine in me. But it does say in Romans 8:16, that the Spirit testifies with our spirit that we are the children of God. We've been given a spirit where we cry out, Abba, Father. I have written to you, Neonoiskoi, again, young men, and ladies, of course, because you are Ischiroi, strong, and the word of God is abiding in you, and you've overcome Poneros, the evil one. Verse 15. Do not love the world, nor the things of the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, and the boastful pride of life is not from the Father, but is of the world. Like I said before, the world is passing away, and also its lust. But the one who does the will of God lives forever. The verb here is agapate, which is a present active imperative. It's command with the negative may, not. Do not love the cosmos, the satanic system, and the way they do things. Of course, we live in the world, and we need the things that are in the world. The secret is not allowing these things to own or control us. James 4:4, you adulteresses, do you not know that friendship with the world is hostility towards God? Therefore, whoever wishes to be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God. An enemy of God. That sort of puts a scare into you, doesn't it? But, on the other hand, Romans 12:2, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that you may prove what the will of God is, that which is good, agathos, acceptable, eurestos, and perfect, teleos. For all that is in the world, the lusts of the flesh, there are things we need to sustain our flesh. They're not all bad. Food, drink, shelter, etc. Used in moderation, we can be pretty safe from it. Don't get caught up in this American dream thing where your whole life is for the American dream, to make the American dream come true in your life. It's not a bad thing. You want the best of what the world has to offer, probably. But we can't let it have us. Paul says in 1 Corinthians 7:31, those who use the world as though they do not make full use of it, for the form of this world is passing away. For if we acquired everything, yet lose our souls, it's not worth it. Matthew 16:26 and Luke 12:20. Your soul will be required of you tonight. Things are pretty far down on the list of priorities when it comes to that. Then we have the lust of the eyes. We must be careful what we look at and desire. One of the world's tricks is to make everything so desirable that you just got to have it. Every new car got to have a beautiful young woman in it, driving it. And it's just the way they advertise things. They make them look too good to be true. The arrogant pride of life. Arrogance is pride, and vice versa. And it's the number one thing on God's hit list. Six things which the Lord hates, yes, seven, are an abomination. Haughty eyes or pride look. A lying tongue. Hands that shed innocent blood. Heart devises wicked plans. Feet that run rapidly to evil. False witness who utters lies. And one who spreads strife among brothers. Sounds like watching the news. All these things are loved by the world now. They're crazy about them. We need to check our desires and motivations, keep ourselves pure, even as He is pure, by awaiting His coming. Being changed. Saying with the psalmist, I will be happy when I wake up with His likeness. These things are not the original intent of what the Father desired for us. If we love the world, the love of the Father is not operating in us as it should be. The world's about used up. It's getting out of control. It's passing away. But the one who does the will of God lives forever. John 8:34, Jesus said, truly, I say to you, everyone who commits sin is a slave of sin. The slave does not remain in the house forever, but the sons and daughters do remain forever. 1 John 2:18, children, it's the last hour. Just as you heard the Antichrist is coming, even now many Antichrists have appeared. From this we know that it is the last hour. They went out from us, but they were not really of us. For if they had been of us, they would have remained. But they went out so that it would be shown that they all are not of us. We don't have to work to disprove somebody else, but it'll show itself for what they are. It's the last hour, eschatos, where we get our word eschatology, the term of the end times, the teaching, the study. The entire church age is in the end times. Ever since Christ went back to heaven, Peter writes that in these times there were false prophets in the olden times. There would be false teachers. 2 Peter 2:1. But false prophets also arose among the people, just as there will be false teachers among you, who will secretly introduce destructive heresies, even denying the master who bought them, denying the master that bought them. You've got to be pretty far gone for that. Bringing swift destruction upon themselves. 1 John 4:3, every spirit that does not confess, homologeo, Jesus is not from God. This is the spirit of the Antichrist, of which you have heard that is coming, and is already in the world. 1 Timothy 4:1, the Spirit says explicitly that in latter times, some will fall away from the faith, paying attention to deceitful spirits and doctrines of demons. These teachings have taken various forms during the church age. Gnosticism, probably in Nicolaitans. Jezebel in Revelation 2 and 3, who one of the teachings was in that back in them days was all matter was evil. So let's just fornicate. That was her doctrine. Eat, drink, and be merry, and have orgies after church, like in Corinth. We know them today as Jehovah's Witnesses, Mormons, preterists, any who deny that Jesus is the Son of God, that has come in the flesh and died on the cross to pay for our sins. Any spirit that teaches such things is the Antichrist spirit. Once again, John uses this term, paideia, children in training. Excuse me for a minute.
This will help.
All right. They started out to their own damnation. They started out with us, but they went out from us. They were really not of us to begin with. They would have remained if they were. Paul warns of another gospel and another Jesus in Galatians 1:6-8. I'm amazed that you were so quickly deserting him who called by the grace of God, of Christ, for a different gospel, which is really not another. There are some disturbing you and want you to distort the gospel of Christ. This was the Judaizers. But even if we or an angel from heaven should preach to you a gospel contrary to what we have preached to you, he is to be accursed, anathema. 2 Thessalonians 2:2, that you will not be quickly shaken. Somebody had written these dear young believers. Somebody had written them a letter that the day of the Lord had already happened, and Paul had to correct that. That you would not be quickly shaken from your composure, or to be disturbed either by a spirit or a message or a letter, as is from us, to the effect that the day of the Lord has come. An attempt to shake their hope and their sense of destiny, shipwrecking their faith. 1 Timothy 1:19, keeping faith and a good conscience, which some have rejected and suffered shipwrecked in regard to their faith. Among these are Hymenaeus and Alexander, whom I have handed over to Satan to teach him not to blaspheme. 2:20, but you have an anointing from the Holy One, and you all know. King James says you know all, but it's you all. you all know that you have the anointing. But do not be shaken. We have an anointing from a holy one, the charisma, from the word creo, to rub or smear on such as ointment, oil. It's like Aaron and his sons were anointed with oil, preparing them for priestly service. We were anointed by our great high priest for service, where we serve not in the temple, but outside the camp, where Christ was crucified, serving a finished work and risen Savior. Hebrews 13:12, therefore Jesus also, that he might sanctify the people through his own blood, suffered outside the gate. So let us go out to him outside the camp, bearing his reproach. The Levitical priest has no right to eat from this one, so we have something over on him. We have received the spirit of adoption, by which we cry out, Abba, Father. His spirit testifying with our spirit that we indeed are his sons and daughters. John 14:26, but the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he'll teach you all things and bring to remembrance all that I said to you. I think below the next verse is, I will not leave you as orphans, but I'm not sure. 1 Corinthians 2:14, but a natural man doesn't accept the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness, and he cannot understand them, because they are spiritually appraised. But he who is spiritual praises all things, yet he himself is appraised by no one. We're an enigma. I like it. For who has known the mind of the Lord that he will instruct him? We have the mind of Christ, and we all know it very well. Oida is the word there. Ephesians 1:13, in him you also, after listening to the message of truth, the gospel of your salvation, having also believed, you were sealed in him with the Holy Spirit of promise. Who is given as a pledge of our inheritance with a view to the redemption of God's own possession, to the praise of the glory, a praise of his glory. You were sealed, shragizo, with the arabone, the earnest, the pledged, the down payment of our inheritance, giving us a confident and sure hope of our eternal destiny. 1 Corinthians 1:21, now he who establishes us with you in Christ and anointed us is God, who also sealed us and gave us his spirit in our hearts as a pledge. Pretty much says it all. 1 John 2:21, not written to you because you do not know the truth, but because you do know it, and because there is no lie in the truth. 1 John 3:19, we will know by this that we are of the truth, and will assure our hearts before him. In whatever our hearts condemn us, for God is greater than our hearts and knows all things. Beloved, if our heart does not condemn us, we have confidence before God. Again, we have the word oida, knowing, perfect tense of harao, to see and to understand fully. Sitting under the right teaching for any time at all, you can detect a lie immediately. 2 Peter 1:12, therefore, I will always be ready to remind you of things, even though you already know them, and have been established in the truth which is present with you. Repetition. It's the key. It's the key to remembering. Repetition. The devil's a liar and a father of lies, and he lies because it's his nature. And that's why he lies. John 8:44. And like Jesus told Pilate, my kingdom is not of this cosmos, but I came to testify of the truth. All who are of the truth, hears my voice. Pilate probably got saved there, or else he probably soiled his garments. And on top of his wife saying, to have nothing to do with that man because I had a dream about him. I think he might have got saved. That's just my opinion. I could be wrong. Don't write that in your notes. That's why Satan is so convincing. He always mixes a little truth with the lie. Verse 22. Who is the liar but the one who denies that Jesus is the Christ? This is the Antichrist, the one who denies the Father and the Son. The one who denies is arneomai, to deny, say no, disown, and refuse. This is in the middle voice, They do it to themselves for their own, to their own condemnation, denying even the Lord that bought them. This is the Antichrist. Many have tried to guess who the Antichrist will be. Nobody knows for sure. I remember when I first got saved, I knew this guy, Mr. Zabo. He was a carpenter for GB's, and he came into stores and fixed stuff for that. And he knew he heard I got saved, and he would always talk to me, and he said that the Antichrist was Juan Carlos. Was the king of Spain like 30 years ago. And when I sin, I should plead the blood.
Whatever.
That was a new one. I noticed that was false right away. Verse 23. Whoever denies the Son does not have the Father. The one who confesses the Son has the Father also. As for you, let that abide in you which you heard from the beginning. If what you heard from the beginning abides in you, you will also abide in the Son and in the Father. This is the promise which he himself made to us, eternal life. 1 Corinthians 15:1. Now I make known to you, brethren, the gospel which I preached to you, which also you received, and which also you stand, by which also you are saved, if you hold fast the word which I preached, lest you believed in vain. For I delivered to you as first importance that what I also received, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, that he was buried, that he was raised on the third day according to the Scriptures. This is the gospel, pure and simple. That's all you need to tell somebody to get saved. Therefore, as you receive Christ Jesus, Lord, walk in him, which was Colossians 2:6. Being built up in him and established, abide in him, abide in his love. Continue in his word, and you can't go wrong. That you may know the Father, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom he has sent. This is eternal life. John 17:3. 1 John 5:11. The testimony is this, that God has given us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. He who has the Son has the life. He who does not have the Son does not have the life. For whatever is born of God overcomes the world. In verse 4, this is a victory that has come, overcome the world, our faith. Be of good cheer. In this world you'll have trouble, but I have overcome the world. John 6:33. 1 John 2:26 and 27. These things I have written to you concerning those who are trying to deceive you. As for you, the anointing which you received from him abides in you. You have no need for anyone to teach you. But as his anointing teaches you about all things, and is true, and is not a lie, just as it has taught you, you abide in him. John 14:26. But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, and later on he says he'll send it in his own name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I said to you. John 16:13. But when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all the truth. For he will not speak on his own, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will disclose to you what is to come. He will glorify me. And my words, if you abide in me, and my words abide in you, John 15:7, ask whatever you wish. There's the key to answered prayer. Abide in his word. Abide in his love. Abide in him. Ephesians 2:10, we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand so that we would walk in them. Walk around, peripateo, there we are again, conduct your lives. It's our walk. Mr. Saba would ask me how my walk was. I kind of figured I knew what he meant there. I tried to answer him right, but I wasn't sure if I did or not. Verse 28 and 29. Little children, abide in him, so that when he appears, we may have confidence not to shrink away from him in shame at his coming. If you know that he is righteous, you know that everyone who practices righteousness is born of him. That we might have confidence, parisia, boldness, freedom of speech, openness. We will not shrink back in shame at his parousia, at his coming. is coming for the church. While we stimulate one another and not forsake the assembling together, which is the habit of some. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, so that each one may be recompensed for his deeds in the body according to what he has done, whether good or bad. And we surely want to stand before him in confidence and boldness in that day. Hear that, well done, Matthew 25:21. Verse 29, if you know that he is righteous, you know that everyone also who practices righteousness is born of him. Preview of coming attractions. The one who practices righteousness, that's the new man. The new creation in Christ Jesus. The one born of him, that's the new man. And he can't sin. Later in 1 John 3, we'll see some more about that. So let's pray. Father, thank you so much for your word, Lord. Pray that it just made sense and got to the hearts of our members of our body here tonight, Lord. And Lord, we just thank you so much for that gift that you did give, that your precious life, your perfect humanity and your perfect Godhead in one man, Lord. It's the only one. Anybody confesses either anything than that, then he's an antichrist. And we just thank you for the truth. We thank you for that unction, that anointing, the charisma that teaches us all things and helps us to discern false and truth. And we just thank you for that in Jesus' precious name. Bless the rest of the evening, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Vicky's going to sing a song.